This is Christina, your host for Cutting Up Radio. Our show begins now.
Hi, this is Cody Till with Championship Bull Riding, and you're listening to Cutting Up Radio.
And good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning on the Morning Loop here on Cutting Up Radio with the Morning Chicks, Christina and Ann. And I think we had to refresh. We had to refresh our show this morning. I don't know what was up, but didn't want to talk. Good morning, everyone. It's so funny. Don't you love it when you have those mornings where it's just like, okay, the computer doesn't want to wake up. But anyway, finally getting the show started, and that was Rodney Atkins. And if you guys have not been to a Rodney Atkins concert, make sure that you put that on your agenda. It is the most amazing concert ever. I've never, ever in my life, and I've been to a lot of concerts, seen a concert where the artist really gets the crowd involved as far as touching, you know, being a part, really getting into the crowd. I mean, he jumps into the crowd. He throws his mic into the crowd. He involves the fans. And Entertainer of the Year, he needs to be there. I mean, absolutely amazing. So if you haven't experienced that Atkins feeling, you got to go check out Rodney Atkins. And check him out on his website as well, rodneyatkins.com. That's A-T-K-I-N-S, rodneyatkins.com. Check that out. And that is his new featured hit single, Take a Back Road. It's available now on iTunes, so check it out on his website. So, Miss Ann, how's your morning?
It's good. How are you?
Doing great. It's beautiful here in Nashville. It's so funny. Don't you just love the weather, guys? They're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be 91 degrees and no rain. Oh, yeah. So in the middle of the day, they throw in 20, 30%.
I'm telling you, it's the only job that you can do wrong every single day, Keith.
I know. I know. And you know what?
I mean, it's like, you know, oh, it's going to be a great day. Sunshine, 75, and 2 hours later, the tornado sirens are blowing. Really?
You know, I think,
high of
honestly,
40, and you got 8 inches of snow on the ground. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Come on.
Well, you know, I just think that, you know, I really think our weather people, they really try to tell us, you know, that they have the up to the minute, yada, yada. But, boy, there can be a line of storms, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to dissipate, and then it blows everybody over. You know what I mean? It's like, what a way to prepare your community. But, anyway, you can stay prepared. So visit our friends at planetnow.org and prepare your family, your neighbors. You know, one thing about us here on Cutting Up Radio is what we're really trying to promote more of is, you know, reach out to your communities and, you know, be more a part of your community. And I think transitioning from Texas to Tennessee has been really challenging because it's like, you know, how do you find the time to do this, that, and the other? And, you know, I know that there goes, you know, so many opportunities pass you by and all you have is excuses. I'm one of those. You know, I'm one of those people that I just feel like when I get home, I'm just exhausted and just want to kind of relax. Well, I'm changing that up a little bit, you know, and I think the way we kind of get involved with our communities is really seeing the passion of the community. And, you know, our community here in Spring Hill, Tennessee, is amazing. And our friends over at Spring Hill Fresh have been incredible at bringing the community together. And so I hope to be more active and more positive in our community around Nashville, Franklin as well, you know, because I think it's important for our future of our communities, but also helping your neighbors, you know, and really learning to get out there and learn who they are. Because I can remember back in the days, Ann, and you can share your stories too, but I remember everybody was friends neighborhood-wise. I mean, you always knew who your neighbor was. These days, we're scared to even go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, I don't have to worry about it because all my neighbors over here are like country artists, and they're never home. So, you know, anytime we do get to see them, we are chatting. But, you know, most of everyone that lives around us is, you know, in the country world and the country music world, and they're always, you know, gone. They have house sitters and, you know, but it's always good to know. You know, it's always good to know that you have a neighbor that you can count on. And we do, and I'm grateful for that. So what about you, Miss Ann?
What about me?
What about your, I mean, when you were growing up, listen, you are not even listening to our conversation this morning. Hello, have you had your coffee? Have you had your coffee?
Oh, I just totally went like, duh.
Oh, my gosh. You cannot be having a morning blonde moment this early. But I guess everything's possible, huh? Anne is full of laughs this morning. But anyway, so, Miss Anne, do you remember? I remember back in the days when I was younger, I could go to my neighbor's house, Miss Vaughnville, and she would always give us gum. You know, we go knock on our door, she would come to the door. And how it all started was at Halloween, we always remember that she was the one that gave the best candy. And so we always thought every day was Halloween, so we would go and see her, you know. That's the kind of neighbors we had growing up. What about you?
We had we have really cool neighbors. I'll tell you a really funny story. We had a next-door neighbor. I had a huge crush on the next-door neighbor boy. And, of course, you know, he was older than I was. And at the time, he was 10 years older than I was. So he was my babysitter. You know, and you look at it now, and it's like 10 years is nothing now, you know, me being in my 40s. Well, Jeff is now retired from the Phoenix Fire Department, very decorated firefighter, and he came here 2 years ago to do a really neat seminar for, you know, as a fundraiser for search and rescue. So we had all the different fire departments. First time I'd seen the guy in 25 years. So, you know, obviously a lot of catching up and stuff. But we used to do, like, ding-dong ditch at his house and all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. And his mom, Barbara, and my mom were best friends. And Barbara was always the lady that took care of us and always would sneak us the good candy. And, you know, we'd go trick-or-treating at her house. And we didn't get the couple pieces of candy. She had, like, the bags of candy for us.
You know? Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, I remember, you know, I remember you could go and you could go away on vacation. You didn't lock your doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
I miss that.
I know. I miss it too. Well, listen, you want to hear some crazy stuff over here in our neck of the woods? People are stealing horses and like your three wheelers and your tractors. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, so yeah, we bring all of our animals up to the front field at night, and we have cameras outside. So, you know, we're taking whatever we need to do. And boy, our lights go off at night, like if anybody walks in front of them or whatever. And then we have a gated entrance, so we keep our gates locked. But, you know, one thing is, you know, it's crazy what the world is coming to, you know. And I think that, you know, blame our government. Here we go. Oh, God, we're going to get on the soapbox.
No politics today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just serious, though. I mean, you know, think about this, okay? When we were going to school, and grant you, I got out of school when I was in the 10th grade. I took my GED and I started working for a celebrity and started, working with horses and traveling around the U.S. And it was one of those things where I was from a small town and I just wasn't, I don't know, I didn't fit well where I was. I mean, I was like uncomfortable. It was almost like at that point, you know, I know too much, so I'd let me out of school. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm a dropout and I got out of high school and I went to college afterwards and you know, I went to college because I wanted to be a part of like the equine world, be a veterinarian, that type of thing. That was my first goal. And then I got out of college and went to do the online college, which was Virginia College for Criminal Justice. And then it was just after that, it was like really hard to manage. You know, after your accounting, your associate's degree, it was like I really wanted to go for my bachelor's and I wanted to do all this stuff. And I started thinking, you know, where do I fit in here? You know, it's kind of like one of those things where you just really kind of are learning as you go. And it's true because that's part of life. You learn as you go. I'm still learning today. But, you know, I think it's important that we go back and we're like, you know, all these children that are dropping out of school. You know, I'm not saying my situation was any different, you know, but it's like I had a path to go on. I didn't stop learning at that point. But there's so many kids. I mean, and you, all you need to do is turn on your televisions for about 30 minutes, not even that long, probably 10 minutes for your local news, and you'll hear a 16-year-old shot this person, and you're thinking, are you serious? You know,
you know,
I mean, what is the world coming to?
See, and I really think I really think that that has to do, you know, I remember growing up and we never had that kind of stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, you know, you go after school and there was, you know, the kid would push you in the hallway and you'd have a fight after school.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody pulled guns. Nobody pulled knives. Nobody did that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
we could have.
I mean, I really do. I think this, you're so bad.
No, seriously.
It's society today, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, it's society. I think that's why you see all these crimes. I mean, seriously, I was reading this article. This woman stabs her husband over, did you see this? This lady stabbed her husband over a quiz in Cosmopolitan magazine. Who does this?
I don't know. It's like...
And I think that the way the economy is, I think
yeah.
that the hardships people are going through, I think people seriously are just snapping.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just way too much stress and way too much pressure, and people are just snapping.
Yeah. They are. And you know, snap somewhere else. I just think it's crazy, you know, just to be... you know, living in this type of world. And then every day on the news, and I don't know if it's just because of the Sandusky trial or whatever is going on there.
Oh.
Every day you hear about a teacher or a janitor or a principal or, or a businessman that is legit in your community molesting children. Hello. You know? Get a board
right.
and draw a hole in it. You know, I don't know, but, like, what the heck are people thinking? I mean, I guess my mom and dad just kept me from knowing anything because we probably had it way back then. And I can remember the first time I really knew anything about it was one of our teachers was accused and had to do a prison sentence for molesting his stepdaughter in our hometown. That was the first time I ever heard of anything like that, and he was a teacher. And, you know, you just kind of don't hear about that kind of stuff. And then now it seems like it's consistent. I mean, what is the world going to? I'm just like,
well, I think
it's
disgusting. Too, I think, too, a lot of it is, here we go with political again, you know. Here I tell you, don't do it, I do it.
Okay, get on your soapbox.
No, seriously, though, I think our government has gotten way too involved and stuck their nose in way too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we hear more about stuff too much anymore.
Right.
I really do. See, like a friend of mine posted this picture for me this morning, and I had to laugh, and I had to share it with you because it's just too funny. It says, a woman has the last word in any argument. Anything that a man says after that is the start of a new one.
It's very true.
I was like, really? Yeah. I mean, sorry, guys.
Well, you know what? Our friends over at Tony and Chris, do you guys ever listen to Tony and Chris? They are the guys that have the radio show, the Tony and Chris show. And you know, they shared some daddy do's and daddy don't days. I mean, daddy day do's and daddy day don'ts. And I wanted to share this list, and I retweeted it on our Twitter. If you have Twitter, make sure that you get on so we can tweet you.
Twitter.
I know, it's so funny. They should have named it Tweeter. Anyway, don't forget a card. You know, the card, you always get a card because it just seems like that's so cool because the kids can sign their names and all that good stuff, you know. And as many of you may or may not know, check out TonyandChris.com because they're really awesome and listen to them. They basically make us laugh, you know, all the time. And I'd love to syndicate them on our show because they're amazing. But check them out. But they also have your children make homemade cards. Don't get another tie. Do be creative. Don't use social media to bash Father's Day. Do honor someone who's been like a father. And they gave a few details on how to do all that. So check that out at TonyandChris.com. And also I posted it on our Twitter page as well. What are some of your ideas for Father's Day? And
well,
I'll share mine.
There's a great little website, and it's called beautyandbedlam.com, and they have these little free printable sheets, and they're little sheets, and they look like a shirt and a tie, and it says, I love my dad because, and you print them out and you let your kids write on them what they love about their dad. So there's something, you know, and you can make them too out of construction paper, you know, cut them out, you know, get a little printout pattern on the internet of, you know, a collared shirt, and you cut them out on construction paper, let the kids write to their grandpa, maybe to their uncle or something, what they love about them. They can make coupon books. I did that for my dad growing up as a kid. You know, I mean, my mom always said, you know, we can go buy your dad something. I was like, no, we'll make him something. We always made my dad the coupon books. Mm-hmm. And it was things like, you know, this certificate is good for mowing the grass, for washing the car, you know, all kinds of little things. Good for 1 hour to do with dad whatever he wants. Good for a hug. Little things, you know, just come up with little creative kinds of things like that. Maybe it's good for one free meal, and then what you do is you know, you get mom to give the kid money to go to the grocery store, and then you take dad and go to the grocery store, and dad gets to pick out what's for supper, and the kid gets to pay for it with the money mom gave, and the kid feels really cool, and, you know, then mom helps him make dinner, and, you know, kid makes it look like the kid made dinner for dad. Stuff like that. My dad really liked that stuff as, you know, as I was growing up. He really liked getting those things.
Right.
More so than he liked getting gifts. You know, when we bought him gifts, he was always like, oh, that's nice, thanks. But when we gave him the homemade stuff and, like, the coupons, he would be like, oh, this is cool. I really like this thing. So you could kind of tell the difference in that he liked the things that came more from the heart rather than the purchase gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So the beautyandbedlam.com, you can print out those sheets if you want them or make your own. But that's kind of my creative ideas. Sydney came up with a really kind of neat idea the other day that she worked on. She took old crayons and she did two things. She took some of my scrapbooking paper and she took some of her old crayons and she took Elmer's glue and she glued the crayons onto the scrap paper. And then she took my hair dryer and she melted the crayons. So they created this liquidy type pattern of different colors all over the paper. And then we took some of the crayons and we broke them up.
Mm-hmm.
And we put them in cupcake muffin tins with the liners.
Mm-hmm.
And put them in an oven at 350 degrees for 5 minutes. And they melted into all different colors. And they were cool because they looked like really big bottle caps.
Right.
And then, you know, the kids could glue them onto paper and make kind of a crayon-colored collage. You know, they could break them up and glue them on paper and maybe, you know, you stick that in a frame. Little artsy kind of a thing that maybe dad could hang up in his office. Or, you know, those are the kinds of things that my kids come up with.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, We, because my husband is in the entertainment industry and away from home a lot, you know, and we do like Skyping or Uvu, you know, and get on there and actually spend some time. So that's another great way to spend Father's Day with your father that may be, you know, away from the house or on the road or whatever. But this weekend we're so excited. Granna B, which is my husband's mama, is coming in and staying a couple of weeks with us, and we're really excited about this because we haven't seen Granny B since my husband was in the hospital fighting for his life in 2008. So that's how long it's been. And so we're really, really excited to see her, and she actually had vacation time coming, and she came to spend the 2 weeks with us. So we're excited about that.
Very cool.
And anyway, it's going to be pretty amazing Father's Day this year. John will be in, so it'll be exciting to be together. But yeah,
cool.
So, you know, some really great ideas there. Good morning, Cowpokes. And Sean is in our chat room, and Miss Jules. So
nice.
We appreciate you guys joining us in the chat room. This little chat room is pretty cool. I know some of you get really aggravated because it doesn't load very fast when you click on the direct link to our show. But if you are going to Cutting Up Radio and you're going to the live interview, you're not going to see the chat room, and I apologize for that. I don't know. With our new website that's being created right now, hopefully we can have that the chat room right there on the front page. But again, we're working on that to improve all that good stuff. So want to thank you guys for being patient with the loading process of the chat room. It's always fun to kind of see the different chatteroos. But anyway, we want to thank Tony and Chris for sharing that list of great Father's Day do's and don'ts. But make sure you check out Tony and Chris at TonyandChris.com. Hopefully we can get them syndicated on Cutting Up Radio soon. Tony's a husband and a dad to three teenagers, so you know how he is. And he's also a neat freak. And then Chris is a single guy, divorced, and he's funny. He's a lot of fun. So make sure you follow them on Twitter.
So Chris is a dad with a gun, right?
Yeah. He loves to golf. He loves to golf, too. So he's a great guy. So anyway.
But he's the dad with the three teenagers. I'm assuming daughter. So he's obviously a father with a carry and conceal.
Yeah. Yay. I mean, who doesn't have a gun these days, you know?
I'm so bad.
Yeah, who doesn't have a house full of guns now? I mean, you know, it's about time that we all load them up. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, you know. It's kind of crazy, but yeah.
That was always the big running joke with my dad when I first started dating. My dad would always sit there and you know, my dad would always say, you know, the guy would come to pick me up and, you know, my dad had to be the cool guy, and he had to sit down with the boy, and he had to, you know, well, what are you doing? Where are you going? What time are you going to be back? Blah, blah, blah. And tell me a little about yourself. You know, like a high school guy can be able to tell my dad a whole lot, right?
Right.
Well, I'm in high school, and I play football, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
And, you know, we get ready, even my dad would say, you know, nice to meet you, and he'd shake his hand, he'd pat him on the back, and he'd say, oh, and by the way, I used to work for the FBI. You guys have a great night. And his client would be, like, freaking out. And he'd be like, I'd be like, no, I really did work for the FBI. You know, and that was my dad's thing. And he's like, I don't need a gun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Dad, you got to quit telling people this. He's like, no, I don't need a gun anymore. He's like, I'll just tell my story for the FBI. And then always after that, I was up, be like, yeah, he worked for the FBI. So that was his deterrent.
How
so
funny.
We still laugh about that to this day. Oh, my God.
Well, I can tell you this. Back in the days, do you all remember Eric Dickerson? He was like a running back for the Rams.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, his brother and I were really good friends, and I can remember that they had came over to the house one time, and we lived across the street from the jail.
God.
And
I have no words.
And anyway, my mother was totally, you know, I wouldn't say any type of racist. She wasn't, because most of my friends growing up were of different ethnics, you know, whether it be Mexican, Indian, whatever, you know. And anyway, so my mother just could not stand this guy, you know. I mean, she was just like, you know, rumors are going to get around in our small town, da, 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 da. That was what Mom was all about, you know. It was all about what other people thought, and me, I didn't care. And I don't know if it was just because I was adopted and kind of placed in this family, and I kind of had a lot of regrets and stuff at that time, you know, just because when you learn you're adopted, you go through different things. And we're going to have a special show on adoption, too, by the way. But anyway, I think it was just, I wasn't like that, because I loved everybody. You know, I never met a stranger. Still today, I don't meet a stranger, you know. And so she come outside with her rifle and was going to shoot his butt.
Oh!
Serious. She she walked out on the front porch and was like, stay away from my daughter, da 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 da. I mean, I'm, you know, the crazy things parents do. I can remember that moment. And I remember my mom was so mad and so upset and all that. It was kind of ridiculous. But anyway, we were going to a rodeo or doing something, meeting some friends somewhere. And anyway, it was one of those things, you know. And I can remember that, when I got home, my mom took away my phone call. Like, you remember how you had the dial tone? You know how you had the dialing phones?
Oh,
they
yeah.
made locks for these suckers, okay? And my mother yeah. went and bought one of those locks to put on the little dialing thing so I couldn't dial out. It was hilarious.
Oh,
and I remember those days, you know? The mothers and fathers, what we did. That was abuse back then. Don't y'all remember the Willis switch? Do you remember that your mom would always say, go pull off a switch? And you would go pull off the littlest one because you thought it wouldn't hurt, and that was the worst one. And then when you started bringing
never,
the tree in the house, it was kind of crazy. But I remember those days, and I remember the welts on my legs and stuff. And I remember going
I
to school and listening to, you know.
Grandma.
Yeah. Well, I just
my
remember all the welts on my legs, and I can remember if I had went to school today with those welts on my legs, I would have been placed in another home. But
I remember being a kid. I remember being a kid and staying with my grandparents during the summers. And my grandma was just, I don't even remember what we were doing, and my grandma just got, like, snapped. And she made me go out and get one, and I got one, and it wasn't good enough for her. And she snatched it up on my hair, drugged me out, and she snapped one off a tree. And she whipped me all the way into the house with it. Boy, I never did that again.
I mean, those are, you know, and even though at that moment it was really harsh for us, you know, I can respect it now, you know. I just
yeah.
wish, I don't know, I don't, you know, I was spoiled. I was absolutely spoiled rotten, you know. So I really can't say anything, you know, like that because
yeah.
I was the spoiled one. But so anyway, that was fun. Just to kind of reminisce about that kind of stuff. It's kind of cool. But hey, some real news. Let me tell you some real news. Listen to me. The second Miss USA contestant says that she overheard a list of top five finalists before the live announcement as well. I know this has kind of been in a media frenzy type thing. You know, how real are these beauty pageants? Is it all for money or, you know, when you think of Donald Trump, you always think of greed for some reason. I do. I don't know about y'all. But when I think
yeah.
of Donald Trump, I think greed, you know, and I think, you know, he's not where he's at because he hasn't made any money, you know. I mean, he's I don't know. He's in it to make money. He's in it to be successful. Who's not, you know? But I think this goes a little overboard because he stood up when that first Miss USA contestant came up and said, you know, I don't want to be a part of an organization that is, you know, illegit. And then he
yeah,
kind of blasted her.
South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, he really blasted her and said, we're suing you and we're doing this, that, and the other. And then now a second one comes up and says, voila, I don't know. This is kind of crazy. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I actually know somebody that competed in those, and
mm-hmm.
I haven't actually had a chance to talk to her about that. Do I think that they're rigged? Sure, I do. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of preliminary stuff that goes on, and you know, I think it should be done fairly. I don't think that the preliminary stuff is right to do, because I mean, why make those girls go through all of that?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, to sue somebody over that, for somebody to say, hey, look, you know what, we found this out, and she had the proof. Like, they had a thing on it the other day that showed that she had the proof. She had all the text messages from the other girls.
Mm-hmm.
She said, here's the text messages, and you know, she came out and she called them out on it, and then, you know, because he's this powerful guy, he filed suit against her.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that tells me he's guilty of sin.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wrong to sue her because she called him out on it. I think that's just ridiculous.
Right.
You know? And you know, the thing is, she walked away and said, you know what, I don't even want my crown from my state. I'm done dealing with this. She could have said, well, I'm keeping my crown and you guys are a bunch of idiots and I'm done. She didn't do that. She stepped away and then she made her statement. I respect her for doing that. You know, I really do. And right. I don't think I could have respected her had she said that, you know, here it is and I'm going to keep my crown and blah, blah, blah. She didn't do that. So I have a lot of respect for her for that. To sue her because she made a statement and had proof to back it up, that's just childish.
Right. Yep. Very true, very true.
You know, and I'm sorry, I just think it just proves that everything she says is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think it needs to be, you know, it really, you know, pageants, I mean, I can remember being in the fair pageant and that type of thing, and you know, it was all about the thin, beautiful gowns, da-da-da-da-da. I just really think that it's, you know, you see the little tots and tiaras or whatever you call them, I don't even know. But, you know, you see all these different things that really try to shape you to be something you're not. And it is all fakeness, you know. I mean, it's like you can't make no mistakes when you have a crown on. And it's almost like you're realistic because everybody makes mistakes. But
yeah.
I just think it sends a bad message, you know, honestly. I enjoy watching them. When they had, like, the talent contest where they had to sing and stuff. Now they don't have to do nothing but get up there and look pretty. It's like, okay, you know. But anyway, yesterday on The View, which is one of my favorite shows, I TiVo and I watch it in the evening times. But on The View, Tyra Banks, Tyra Banks?
Tyra Banks
was on there.
I like her.
Yeah, I love her, too. And, you know, she's on a new she's got some new things in the works. And they're really bringing women to the forefront as far as, you know, we have curves, you know, we have a little more, but, you know, we're still beautiful, you know, and I think that's so important because there's so many of us that battle, you know, even though I've lost 100 and, you know, almost 153 pounds now, but even though you've lost that much, it's your body comes to a stopping point where it doesn't want to lose anymore, you know, and that's where I'm at now. So I'm only losing like 7 pounds a week compared to like 15 or 18, you know, it's kind of frustrating. But yet I feel good about myself. I feel better about myself. I can actually walk 2 or 3 miles without having like needing a breathalyzer or something like a breathing treatment or whatever, but you know, whatever you want to call this thing. Anyway,
what's in your water bottle?
I know. But, you know, it's kind of like.
I remember watching the show when Tyra Banks came out, and she was in her swimsuit, and she was in tears after she got slammed for gaining weight and stuff. And then she said, "You can kiss my black." I was so proud of her, and that was so empowering for women.
Mm-hmm.
When she did that. And she was like, you know, people gain weight, bodies change, blah, 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 and if you don't like it, you can kiss my big black backside. And I thought, good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's basically what she said yesterday. But it's so cool. I mean, it's so true, though. And I think that, you know, our world, and I'm so grateful for, you know, like Miss Obama and the First Lady, how they came out with the new food chart and stuff for schools and really are trying to bring more awareness to eating healthy. And I think that's key. I know, you know, it's not about being thin. It's about eating healthy because there's so many people that are a little overweight that are truly healthy, you know. I mean, they don't have any health problems and nothing like that, you know. And I just think that, you know, I hope this really brings awareness out there that people are people and none of us are perfect. Even the skinny people are having issues, you know. And I feel like, and Jewel, this has been bugging me to death, but you remember you had made a comment about something about if people could live in your life for a day or something. I can't remember what it was. But it inspired me, and I want to remember it. So,
look at Jessica Simpson. She's a perfect example. She is a perfect example.
And Jewel, so when you, if you can remember that quote, like send it to me in chat so I can repeat it. But it was awesome. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many people. But, you know, it shouldn't have to come from, you know, this is another topic of interest. It's, you know, celebrities these days are, like, looked up to as, you know, mentors and are looked up to from us on the outside, you know. And it's almost like they're normal people. Like, you know, Tim McGraw lives right down the road from us here. And, I mean, he is, like, so normal. If you see him, like, at our little, like, if you go to Leaper's Fork and sitting there or something, he'll walk up to the bar, put his hands around you and say, hey, how y'all doing? You know, just being really cool, really nice, friendly, normal. And you're just like, wow, you know, this is pretty cool. You know, but then you see, you know, if they're in L.A., forget it, or if they're in some type of place where there's a lot of paparazzi. Do you notice that the paparazzi doesn't really focus on country music stars much? Why is that? Because they hide well, they control their environment well. I don't know. I just think it's pretty awesome how they do it. But, you know, I just want everybody to know that no matter what, they all deserve private lives. And it just seems like our world is so motivated by what other people are doing and saying and the lives they are living instead of your own. You know, and I just feel like, get a life. You know, who cares? I mean, they sing, they have music, they have their own lives. They want private lives as well as you want private lives. You know, it just seems like,
well,
you
know. And to tell you, I'll tell you something. I have a friend of mine who is a freelance photographer out in California. And, you know, he shoots for LA News. He shoots for Associated Press, all of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me all of the time, you know, we talk, and I'm like, how did you get that picture? And he's not a paparazzi. He does a lot of news stuff. He does a lot of fire stuff, all that. He says, you would not believe his fax machine, his text messages, his email. He gets probably, he said on an average, 1,500 emails a week from press agents that say, hey, my client's going to be here. You should come to talk, photograph him. You should. He said, this whole business about these stars that complain, oh, the paparazzi won't leave me alone. He said, it's a load of baloney. He said, their press agents send stuff out all the time saying, they're going to be here, they're going to be here, they're going to be here. And then it's a whole bunch of, oh, they won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
And he said, I, you know, he doesn't go out and shoot them because that's not his thing. He does a lot of space shuttle things and stuff like that. And he says, but you know what? He says, I find it very difficult to feel sorry for these people when they sit and complain, oh, well, the paparazzi chases me. Well, yeah, you're right. They chase you because you have your agent tell them where you're going to be. And you do it on purpose. It's an attention thing.
Right.
So
yeah,
for
that's
most
true.
Of them. So, and I think
that's how the Kardashians got so big,
well,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not their talent. I mean, what do they do, you know? I mean,
well,
everybody, I have a big butt. Wonder if I can, like, make millions with my booty. Just things like
and
that. You know, it's just kind of crazy. But I just think that it's really deterring away the logistics of life. And I think people that, you know, I watch the Kardashians occasionally or I see, you know, but it just gets crazy, you know. It's almost like turn your televisions off and get outside and enjoy the air. But you know, I just think that it's really directing a whole lot of negative to families. And you know, everybody has problems. I don't care who out there may lead a life that looks very non-stressful, but even wealthy people are stressful, you know. I mean, it's just, it's a normal thing, you know. And it's everybody is going through something out there, no matter what, you know. And so I just think people should mind their own business, you know, and talk about positive things. So let's get on a positive roll here, you know. Kenny Chesney has a new pet. Have all of you heard? He has a new pet that he's taking around to the shows, and it's a part of his life now. And you know, pets do change your life. You know, they change your life. And he named his little, I guess it's kind of like a golden doodle. It's like a poodle, golden retriever type mix. But his name is Poncho, and a friend gave it to him. And so he went to PetSmart the other day and bought a bunch of stuff, and now he's just enjoying Poncho. Isn't that sweet? But, you know, pets do change your life. And I want to encourage each and every one of you that if you do not want a pet, make a donation to your local shelter so that they can continue saving the lives of pets, as well as hopefully getting them adopted out to a family that needs one. But, you know, check your local shelters for animals that need a loving home. You know, we have our animals that are, the only one that's not is, you know, our two donkeys are. And then we have a little, he's like a chow lab mix type thing, Latin. And then we have Tutu Bear, which his name is Gizmo at night because he turns into a gizmo at night. But he's a chihuahua, and we adopted him. But, you know, I mean, it's so important to support your local, you know, pet store. You know, I know PetSmart has dogs and cats that you can be a part of, but also your local shelters as well. So, you know, we want to promote that, and hopefully, you know, you and your family can provide a special home for a special animal, because they're just like your family. I mean, I can tell you that whenever it rains or storms or you hear thunder in the background, I'm like wanting to bring the donkeys and the horse in the garage and put them in the basement. And the only reason, I don't know why I'm like that, but I can remember back in the days when I was hauling cattle, and John was hauling cattle, and there would be a heifer that had a baby calf. We would bring it home, and I would lay plastic in one of my extra bedrooms, and I would put hay down, and I'd bring them in the house because I didn't want
him
to get a hold of them or
so
something.
I just thought so bad, Christina. I am on a roll today. I am just in a really weird mood today. I just thought of something so funny.
Okay, guys.
I don't even know if I should say it.
Say it.
I can just see you in the middle of a storm at your house.
You what?
Running through the house screaming at Josh. Get the ass out of the yard and bring him out.
No, actually, John laughed. He was like, I mean, because he knows I just have such an amazing heart, and I cannot handle that. But it was kind of funny, though, because every time the calf would poop, we would have the shovel underneath his butt. I mean, that's how close we were connected to him. We always knew when he was going to make a dump. But anyway, it was pretty cool, though. I turned my house into a farm, but it was a great experience because still today, Clayton, who will be 21 next week.
Oh. That is so crazy.
I know. My oldest son is going to be 21 next week, and so he can still remember those days. Mom, I remember when you brought those calves in the house. But it was fun. Lots and lots of fun. Okay, so I wanted to share this quote with you guys because I loved it, and Miss Jules shared it with us. Now, Jules, you got to tell me who quoted this. Because I remember I put your name behind it, and you were like, no, I wish I could take that credit, but nope. But it's called the quote is, "The world judges me by the decisions I make. Never does it see the options I had to choose from." And that just inspires me because it's so true. And I think that today there's so many ways to be judgmental on everything. I mean, it's so amazing how people are just want to be negative that, you know, they don't care what they say. They just go by what they see or hear or whatever the case may be, you know. And I can only imagine what the movie stars and the people in Hollywood deal with every day. How do they move forward without letting any of this negative stuff in these magazines and all this stuff affect them? Because it can become, you know, it can become overwhelming. And Sean said something that it's easier to judge another than to admit your own faults. Very, very true, Sean. Very, very, very true. And I love these quotes. So, guys, keep sharing them with us. Keep inspiring us as much as we so-called inspire you. I love this, you know, and it's a great way to inspire others is sharing quotes. I love quotes. Quotes are so fun. So fun. Okay, so tell me, what do you guys think about Meghan McCain? I love this chick. I don't know what's up, okay? She's so real. And she has a new book out called America, You Sexy Bitch, hits the shelf, I guess it was 2 days ago. Pretty shocking title for a book, but get this. I mean, it's pretty awesome. You know, I was reading tidbits of it and continuing to read this. You know, Meghan really has, she has like an inside look to both sides, no matter Democrat or Republican. And I love, she was on The View yesterday, and I love the fact that, you know, she's basically saying, you know, it's not about being a Republican, it's not about being a Democrat, it's about being voting for what's right for America, because the road we're going on now is like, you know, disaster. So here we go on our soapbox for the day. Check out McCainBlogette.com and tell us what you think about that, because I think, you know, her new book is going to be a bestseller, absolutely. And, it's, you know, go check it out and tell us what you think. And Michael Ian Black is also a part of this, along with Meghan McCain as well. So check it out and tell us what you think, because I'm going to keep reading, and the more I like about it, I'll tell you about it. But that is the book to read right now. So anyway. Well, we got a few more minutes here left on the show, and I want to remind all of you to follow us on Facebook as well as Twitter. And check out the Red Lobster Shrimp Nachos that my friend put on, Stephanie, with copycat.com. It's copykat.com. If you ever need an amazing meal that is fast and simple and it tastes like the restaurants, honey, my chick is the place to go. Stephanie has amazing things. And last night when I was getting ready to go to bed after our show, she put up this darn recipe called Red Lobster Shrimp Nachos, the kind that you find at, I believe it's Red Lobster. Think about it. But it looks so, so good. Go check it out. And she has lots of great recipes on her website, but make sure that you check it out and cook up some good stuff and post your pictures on our Facebook page. Alrighty, well, that's going to wrap up our show for today. Thanks again for joining us this morning right here on Cutting Up Radio, The Morning Loop with The Morning Chicks, Christina and Ann. On behalf of Ann, we want to thank you again for tuning in and also following us on Facebook and as well as Twitter. Make sure you also follow the ER Cowgirl on Twitter. And check out our website at cuttingupradio.com. Next week, we have a great show next Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Make sure you check in with us. We're going to have the details of our new PTSD show that is coming to Cutting Up Radio. So stay tuned in. Y'all have a great rest of the week. Have a great weekend. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there this Sunday. Hope you have a really, really great, exceptional weekend with your family. So everyone have a great day, and thanks again for joining us right here on Cutting Up Radio. Good day, everyone.